Let's open our Bibles this evening to Matthew chapter 7. I'm going to have us look at four different scriptures from four different Gospels on prayer. We're going to begin with one of them in the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew 7. I'm going to begin reading with verse 7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you, if his son asks for bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Turn with me to Mark chapter 11, please. Mark chapter 11. I'm going to jump into verse 22. So Jesus answered and said to them, the disciples, have faith in God. For assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will come to pass, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Luke chapter 18, please. Just reading a few passages end on end. Verse 1. Then Jesus spoke a parable to them, that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. I'll read that again. Men always ought to pray. How often should we, men and women, be praying? Always. And what? Not lose heart. Saying, there was in a certain city, a judge who did not fear God nor regarded man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, avenge me of my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming, she weary me. In the Greek language, it reads like this, she'll give me a black eye. The words, she weary me, she will give me a black eye. Verse 6, then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said, and shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out, how often? Day and night to him, though he bears long with him. Verse 8, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith, understood there, persistent faith on earth? John chapter 16, last passage we'll read. John chapter 16, verse 23. And in that day you will ask me, in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Verse 24, until now, you have asked how much? Nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Okay, we're going to talk about prayer here in the remaining moments of our evening service. And I want us to look at some of the complexities and some of the mystery of prayer. You know, if you're a baby Christian, you'll read these passages, the ones we read, and think it's as easy as asking and receiving immediately. Am I right? But those of us who walk with the Lord know, how many of y'all know, we know better. It doesn't just go one, two, three, four. How many? We've discovered that a prayer is not a formula, is it? How many of us know that prayer is not just pressing the easy button and then we receive whatever we ask for? Prayer is not a blank check. Come on, somebody. Amen. All right, that there are complexities to prayer. Let me pose a scenario at the outset of the message. Okay, so let's say that it's the spring and late spring and Little League championships are underway, and these kids are ready to play for Saturday's game, and they've been warned by the umpires that there might be some weather, that it might rain, and their mothers, Christian mothers, are praying that it not rain so that their kids can enjoy the championship on Saturday. And yet across town, there are some farmers who have experienced some drought. Come on, somebody. And what's their prayer? Are they praying that it not rain? Oh, no, they're praying, Lord, let it rain. Okay, so in that scenario, who does God listen to?
Farmers.
Well, that was a simple solution. I should have seen that coming. I once asked that to a person, and they said, well, the people that had more faith. I'm like, no, no, no. That's not, no, no, no.
I think it probably would depend on what God thought was the most necessary.
That's right. Would depend on what the Lord thought was the most necessary. Very good answer. How many of us know that there's an element where He signs off on our prayers? He doesn't give us a blank check, does He? Oh, you know, it. There's more to it, and I think that when we actually stand back and look at the magnitude of prayer, we all have to agree that there's an element of mystery to prayer. That not even the best theologian can explain away every situation, can explain away why God often says yes, why God sometimes says wait, and yes, why God sometimes says what? No. Now, we can explain the way all the times that we ask God for frivolous things, that in our immaturity, in our impatience, we asked for, and He said no to. And when we matured more, we looked back at what we asked, and we said, Lord, thank You that You did not listen to me, or if You did listen to me, thank You that You said no. Doesn't Garth Brooks sing about unanswered prayers? He says the blessing. You know, I can tell you there were some elementary school girls that I had prayed for. I wanted to go out with them, and I said, God, you gotta give them to me, Lord. And now I'm thinking, what was I thinking? Wow, what in the world? How many of y'all are thankful that God has not answered some of your prayers? Okay, but let's get serious. Let's go to the real. The difficult part, how many of us know there are some things that were life-threatening, and we prayed for things that were noble, we prayed for things that were right, not on our behalf, but let's say on somebody else's behalf. You know, didn't our community rally about a year ago and pray for that the son of one of the coaches in Moniqua, and, you know, the answer was, for whatever reason, it was no. The child went to heaven. And that's tough. That's a hard pill to swallow, isn't it? Amen? You know, Jesus just told us, just pray. And at face value, we see the scriptures on prayer just in the New Testament, the Gospels and the Epistles. You would think that God's going to say yes to all of our prayers. But is that the case? That's not the case. What did God tell Paul? Three times Paul said, Lord, take this thorn away from me, my thorn in the flesh. And He said, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. In other words, sometimes we have to live with some struggles.
Amen.
Thanks, Terry. You got that point.
Really, I don't think that we would grow if we didn't have to live with part of our troubles.
That's right.
I think that's when we really get down off the mountain, and you get down, and then there's nowhere to turn.
That's right.
You learn.
That's how you learn. That's right. You know, God kept Paul the Apostle humble. I mean, God gave all kinds of revelations and visions to Paul the Apostle, some of which he was not permitted to talk about. I mean, that's pretty profound. And he said, there was given to me a messenger from Satan to keep me humble. The Lord allowed that to happen. The Lord did not cause that to happen. I want to be clear about that. But church family, I'm going to follow this train of thought, and this is the beauty of kind of not having notes for me, is that we can kind of maybe go down some paths that we haven't thought about, or maybe we've thought about, but not to the depth that we have. How many of us know that Brother Scott had a great Sunday school lesson this morning about how Satan can still approach God, and how many of y'all know that Satan approached God with regards to Job and asked permission twice? And the Lord granted permission. But did you know that it did not stop with Job? Did you know that it went on to Peter? Jesus said, you know, Satan, truly, truly, I say to you, Satan has desired to have all of you. In the Greek language, it's plural. And then he goes, points, singles Peter out. Simon, Simon. He says that he might destroy your faith, that he might sift. Satan wants to sift your faith like wheat, but I have prayed for you, singular, not plural, disciples. I have prayed for you, Simon, Simon, that your faith may not fail, and not if you return, but when you have returned, then strengthen all of these disciples, your brothers. Wow. For Jesus to tip his hand and say, Satan came to me asking for permission that he might sift your faith like wheat. He didn't say, I didn't allow him. He didn't say that. He said, what did he say? I'm praying for you. How many of you would feel very secure if Jesus looked at you today and said, I'm praying for you, Tim. I'm praying for you, Lyle. Wouldn't that give you unbelievable amounts of comfort and hope and peace of mind? Well, do you realize that he is praying for every single one of us? The book of Hebrews says that he ever lives to make intercession for us.
Yeah. He's sitting on the right hand of God, and he's our intercessor.
He is our intercessor. He's our high priest. That's right. Our mediator. Our advocate with the Father. So there's that element where Jesus can't allow the enemy so much ground, as you were, as it were, with us in our lives, but he can go no further. God always sets the limitations. Amen? So there's some complexities to prayer. Now, so then should we conclude that prayer is not that important because there are mysteries to it and there are complexities to prayer?
No.
Nowhere in the Bible will you find a verse that Jesus says, guys, don't take prayer too seriously. You know, you win some, you lose some get rained out. Is there that kind of scripture? No. It does not say that. All the scripture in the New Testament, predominantly in the New Testament, will say, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and it will be open to you. Up to now, Jesus told his disciples, you haven't asked anything in my name. Ask that it may be given to you, that you might receive, and that your joy may be full. Isn't that a truism? Who's ever had answered prayer?
Amen.
Was your joy full? Glory to God. You're like, wow, this is spectacular. I mean, sometimes, I don't know about you, but sometimes I'm like, did that really happen? Did that just really happen? You know, you're surprised that you get what you asked for, even though you've been praying in faith, and then when you receive it, you're surprised. You know, it harkens to a point in my life when I was a teenager, and I remember the church that I was going to was a massive church. They didn't have services this weekend. They just had online streaming, live streaming, because of the coronavirus crisis. But I remember the pastor back in the mid-80s, he had given a challenge to the church about, you know, us. He had just finished a series series on prayer and had challenged us to give a special offering to the church. But with this, under this caveat, he said, ask the Lord to supply something over and above what your income designates you to have, and give that over and above miracle to the church. So I kind of set an amount. You know, I was 17 years old. I had set an amount. I wasn't working at the time. I was in high school. I didn't have any after school jobs. I just kind of did my thing. But I had set an amount, and I was praying about it. 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, a week. And then I heard that my uncle, my long lost uncle from, he lived in Anaheim, California. He had visited his mom, my grandmother, in Nuevo Laredo, Tamaulipas. It's just across the border. You would probably know, Terry. Across the border from Laredo, Texas. He was driving back to Anaheim. He wanted to stop by El Paso, Texas. It was on his way back. So it was kind of an unannounced visit. He called Dad about a day before. He said, hey, I'll be by. He said, sure, you know, you're welcome to spend the night, not a problem. So I remember it was a Saturday afternoon, and I'm watching tennis on the television. I was just chilling, and my uncle came around the corner. He had finished talking to Mom in the kitchen. Dad was at work, and he had engaged me in conversation, how I was doing, how college was doing. He's standing up, and I'm just sitting there, and he reaches deep into his pocket. He had a folded bill. He said, he shook my hand, he put it in my hand, he said, shh, he's looking around, he said, don't tell your mom, don't tell your dad that I gave you this. Well, I knew it was a dollar bill of some, you know, some denomination. He said, you know, I wish you success in your college studies and so on. Went out of the room. Later that evening, I checked my pocket. It was the exact amount of money that I was praying for. Amen. To give to the church. Amen. And my reaction was like, here I am praying in faith, Lord, I trust you, you're a provider, I believe you, you're going to provide. And then when it happens, you're like, oh, shocked. Boy, a man of faith and power, right? But it happens that way sometimes. And doesn't it fill your heart with joy? You just witnessed a miracle. Right? And you know, sometimes I want to encourage this church family that I need to be better at this. I've got a pretty darn good memory, and it's a gift from God, okay? Some of you just like, oh, I hate you. You know what, darling? I don't go to Vegas and count cards. Come on, somebody. I could do that. I've got a photographic memory. I use it for God's kingdom.
I've always had that too, but it'll leave you someday.
Get thee behind me, Satan. When I was taking Greek, you know, Greek was, it's the most exact language in the world. Very, very complicated language. It required gobs of memorization. But because I have a photographic memory, I would study. I was the first guy in my Greek classes to finish the test, and I always got the highest grade, and the curve was always based on the difference between my grade and the 100. And if people would just, I would just turn in my exam, people would look at me and they're like, how do you, and I'm like, goodbye. I can't take credit. God's been good to me. But anyway, so let's talk about prayer. So let's talk about, you know, how many of y'all have ever prayed for parking spaces? I have. It works, doesn't it, Mama Jen? It's worked for me.
Does it work, honey?
Yeah.
I pray. I do. I believe in that. You know, one time a friend and I were at a board meeting at our church in Effingham, and you know, there's a big rivalry between St. Anthony's. We played them. We beat St. Anthony's. And Theotopolis, the wooden shoes of Theotopolis, and those two would go at it because it was a crosstown rival. Well, not crosstown, because Theotopolis is just a few miles away, a couple miles away from Effingham. But everybody showed out to that pack house. But, you know, and I was praying. I'm thinking, I'm looking at the clock. The board meeting's going on. I'm thinking, gosh, can we... Sorry, Gene, I'm just being honest. Not here. But I'm like, can we hurry? So finally over, people wanted to ham-haw around and chit-chat. I'm out of there. My friend and I were out of there. We bolted out because he was a treasurer. We got in my car. I drove as fast as I could, and I'm praying for favor. I'm praying for a parking spot. And so I see one right in front of the door, and I took it. Everything else was packed at that school, right in front of the door. We watched the game, praised the Lord, went back and told our church people, and the guys were smart Alex. They're like, well, yeah, anybody can park at a handicapped spot. I said, there was no sign, bucko. I believe in that. Amen. I believe in asking. I believe in, how many of y'all believe that God can answer the smallest prayers? Now, when we run into trouble is when, you know, people say, well, you say that your God answers a prayer for a parking spot, your God answers prayer for favor, and you get discounts at restaurants and such, but why didn't he answer you when you prayed for your grandmother when she was dying and she died? Yikes. But there's still the element of mystery, because when somebody kind of cynically looks at you and says, well, your God can answer prayers for parking spaces and you get discounts at restaurants, well, whoop-de-doo, what about the big prayers when you prayed for this person and they died or they were sick or they weren't healed and they continue with their chronic illness? What about that? And, you know, I'd say I don't have any answers. Paul the Apostle said in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, right now we know in part and we see in part. Then when we're in heaven, we shall know as we are known. We'll have answers. But how many of y'all know that when you're in heaven, you won't go in there with your hands on your hips, ladies, and say, well, I demand an answer for that. You'll want to see Jesus. And once having looked in his face, all your questions will melt. Amen. It'll be worth it all. Wow. So, what? Oh, yeah. It will be worth it all. Amen. When we look in his face, when faith becomes sight. But for now, prayer. So what do we do with this thing called prayer? Well, we have to take Jesus' encouragements to heart. If he says ask, then what are we to do? Ask. Are we to ask timidly? No. How are we to ask? Boldly. Go back with me to Matthew 7. Verse 7, ask. Let's stop there because that word ask in the present or in the Greek language is said in the present tense. So this is the way it really should read. Ask and keep on asking and it will be given to you. Seek and keep on seeking and you will find. Knock and keep on knocking and it shall be opened unto you. What did Luke 18:1 say? Jesus gave us a parable so that people should always pray and not lose what? Not lose heart. We should always pray. Do we give up in our prayers? Do we, you know, I'm going to close with this illustration because it's very personal to me. It really means the world to me. How many of y'all know sometimes you get tired of being the adult? Can I just be honest, people? Come on, tell me. I mean, doesn't it get old? I mean, I want to know someone that's always perfect and their poise and their adultness. Wow, it's been quite a journey. Wow. But nonetheless, I persisted. I kept praying. I kept believing. Kept praying for restoration. Kept reaching out of love to her and her kids. And you know, we've been communicating via video. I'll send her videos, and she sends me videos. And, Dad, we'll talk it over. Thank you for asking us, because I asked permission. I wasn't just going to show up like those dudes in Christmas Vacation. Anyway, so she said, we'll think about it. Today she sent me a video. She said, Dad, my husband and I have talked about it, and we really would like for you guys to come down. And we really would like for you to see the kids. And how many of y'all believe that God answers prayer? It would have been nice had he answered it a year and a half ago, but I had to do some maturing in that year and a half. And I think she did too. Amen? But how many of y'all know it's still worth it? It's sweeter now. More worth it. And my joy is full today. Let's pray. Holy Father, thank you for your love. Lord, thank you for the privilege of prayer. We're all on our own journey with prayer. Some of us have been praying for years. Perhaps for some of our kids, grandkids, some of our loved ones. And Lord, sometimes we see setback after setback. But Lord, we are not of those who draw back. We are of those who persist, persevere, and receive the promises, Lord. We're not quitters. We're not going to listen to the voices of the enemy that say, "Oh, just give it up. Just tell them off. Just write them off." No, we'll never do that, Lord. We will welcome those we love always into our lives. Father, help us. Help us to not give up so soon in prayer. Help us to be diligent. Help us to be vigilant in prayer. Help us to be persistent. You are a rewarder of those who diligently seek you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. God bless you.